Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. And we'll be reading from chapter 18 of Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 8 of chapter 18 of Luke's Gospel. It is the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. And it is found on page 911 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continuously coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. And I ask, Lord, that in everything that we do, that you inscribe your word upon our hearts. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Whenever I hear the parable of the unjust judge and the widow, I think about a story I was told about the wonderful saint who came before a charitable giver, a corporate giver, a very rich philanthropist, Mother Teresa. And she was soliciting money for an orphanage that she was trying to build. And this big executive philanthropist, while he gave money to many things, he wasn't necessarily inclined to give money to this particular orphanage. And so he conveyed to one of his associates that when Mother Teresa comes, that he would hear her out and respectfully decline her request. And so she came and sat down, and there was a big mahogany table between her and this philanthropist, and she asked for money for the orphanage, and he heard her, and he declined. And Mother Teresa said, "Fine, let us pray." And so they bowed their heads and they prayed. And after a period of prayer, she again made the same request, and again he declined, and Mother Teresa again said, "Let us pray," and they prayed. And after that prayer, she made the same request all over again. And finally, this big corporate executive, this philanthropist, exasperated, asked for his checkbook and said, "You know, I can't help but to give if you continue to be persistent in your asking." We know Mother Teresa was not a very big woman, but she had an indomitable spirit, and she was persistent in her care for those that other people often overlooked. She was persistent in seeking out a better life for those under her care. And so she was not a woman that was inclined to give up very easily or to lose heart. We are all aware that there are many toils and snares along the road of faith. There are many temptations by which the enemy seeks to divert us from the straight and the narrow. But I suspect that the gravest danger to the people of God is that we simply give up and become discouraged. We go weary and faint of heart. It's a tendency that seems to be quite prevalent in the Bible. Throughout the Bible, we find that God's people are constantly being encouraged not to give up, not to lose heart, but to wait on the Lord, to trust in God, to trust that God will act on their behalf. It is towards that end that Jesus tells his disciples a parable, the parable that we heard this morning. It's a parable about a judge, probably not the kind of judge that you and I would want to go before. This is a bad judge, an unethical judge, an immoral judge. He doesn't care about God and he doesn't care about people. Indeed, the only thing that he cares about is himself. If there's any good that can be said about this judge is that at least he's honest with himself. He knows that the only thing he cares about is himself. He knows that he doesn't fear God and that he doesn't care about people. Sharing the same parable is a widow, a woman without a husband, which was a precarious position to be in the ancient patriarchal world of the Bible. To be a widow back then was to be without voice, without standing, without rights. It was to be without a man in a man's world. And so widows, along with orphans and foreigners, were often vulnerable to the cruelty and the neglect and the indifference of others. That's why the law of Moses and the prophets enjoined the people of God again and again to pay particular attention to the orphans and the immigrants and the widows in their midst. But remember, this morning our judge neither fears God nor respects people. So when this vulnerable widow comes to him asking for justice, he ignores her. The way vulnerable people and powerless people are often ignored in our society. This woman doesn't have a whole lot going for her. She doesn't have any high-powered lobbyists advocating on her behalf. She doesn't have any high-priced lawyers to go before this judge arguing her case. All she has is her persistence. And so every day she shows up at the judge's chamber and she asks for the same thing. Give me justice. I need justice. Someone is mistreating me. Give me justice. The judge ignores her, but she comes back the next day. Give me justice. We can imagine her following the judge home at night as he retires, following behind him asking, give me justice. I need justice. We can imagine her perhaps even meeting the judge as he comes in to work in the morning time. I need justice. Again and again, she comes back seeking justice. Until finally, she wears the judge down. The judge says to himself, yes, I may not fear God, and I may not have respect for people. I don't care anything about people. I don't care anything about the law. I don't care anything about what the Bible says. I don't care anything about any of that. But I'm tired of looking at this woman. I want this woman out of my hair. And so because I want her out of my hair, I'm going to grant her what she wants. I'm going to give this woman justice. We've all been there before, I suspect. We've all had people to badger us and to bother us. And so we finally came to the end of our ropes and we gave in and gave the person what they needed because they wouldn't get out of our hair. And Jesus says, that's the way we need to be when we pray. We need to be persistent. First of all, to state the obvious, this parable is about persistence. It is about the need for us to be persistent in our prayers. Barbara Brown Taylor, in a sermon on this passage, notes that many of us pray in the same way that we brush our teeth in the morning. Once we pray in the morning and then perhaps we pray at night, It's all part of our spiritual hygiene. But we often pray without any feeling. And sometimes we pray without any expectation that God will do something about our prayers. I suspect that we engage in these kinds of prayers for the same reason that many people stop praying altogether, because we really don't believe that God hears us. We don't believe that God is listening. We prayed before and nothing's happened, or it didn't happen in the way we wanted it to, or it didn't happen at the time that we wanted it to, and so we simply gave up. We just stopped praying. Or we pray nice, superficial prayers that really don't expect a whole lot from God. But the Bible tells us to pray with heart, to pray like we expect something from God, to be persistent. Of course, persistence isn't easy, especially in a throwaway culture such as ours. We find it all too easy to give up. Whenever we don't get what we want, we quit. We give up easily. We quit easily. We throw things away. We quit relationships. We quit churches. We quit jobs. We readily give up on all kinds of things. But persistence is one of those virtues that must be cultivated and valued and practiced. So Jesus says, be persistent when you pray. You know, we live in an age of instant gratification. We want things and we want them now. We want them without delay. I remember a time not too long ago when if you wanted information about something, you had to go do a little bit of work. You know, you had to go to the library. You had to check out a book. You had to consult an encyclopedia. It took a little time, but it was all part of the process of building a scholarly temperament. But today, because of our technology, our internet and our personal computers, all we have to do is Google something in and voila, instant answers. Sometimes more answers than we know what to do with. And many of us expect prayer to work in the same way. We pray to God and we expect God to answer us immediately. And when it doesn't happen immediately, we lose heart. We give up. But sometimes prayer is not just about the answers. Sometimes prayer is about the process. It's about our engagement with God. It's about the shaping of our hearts and the cultivation of a relationship with the God who is the source of our life. And so Jesus says, be persistent. Knock, and the door will be open. Now we need to hear this morning that this parable does not attempt to resolve the mystery of answered prayer and unanswered prayer. It is not a technique in which we are assured that God will always hear us if we are persistent, or that God will give us what we want if we are persistent. God does answer prayer. I can attest to that. God answers prayer. God hears us and God answers our prayer. Sometimes God gives us what we want. But you know as well as I do that sometimes our prayers go unanswered. Or sometimes our prayers seem to go unanswered. And I can't sit here today and tell you that I've got God all figured out, that I've got a technique that will guarantee that God will answer your prayers the way you want them answered. I don't. God works in God's own way. But we are told to pray, and to pray persistently. I remember the first time one of my prayers was answered. Actually, two of my prayers were answered around the same time. One was a prayer that I prayed for Brenda Cantrell, who was a little girl I had a crush on ever since we were in the second grade together. At the end of our fifth grade year, she informed the class that she had not be coming back to our final sixth grade year at Taft Elementary School. Her father had taken a job in another city, and the family was moving away. And of course, I was devastated. All that summer, I prayed and I prayed that Brenda Cantrell would not move. I didn't know who was going to get the biggest Valentine on Valentine's Day if Brenda Cantrell was not there. But to make a long story short, on the first day of school, the next school year, our sixth grade teacher, Miss Brewster, announced that she had a surprise, and in walked Brenda Cantrell. Now, some people would say that was just a coincidence, but I believe that it was a consequence of my prayer. It's a miracle. It was a consequence of my prayer. I prayed, 11-year-old boy, and in my mind, God answered my prayer. Brenda Cantrell came back to our class. The second prayer took place at around the same time. It was a bit more serious. My Aunt Marianne had cancer of the uterus and was very sick for a long time. At one point, the doctors assembled the family and told everyone to expect the worst, that they didn't expect her to live past the week. And all I remember is that everyone started praying. Our family prayed, and our little church prayed. Everyone prayed. And I also prayed. I went into the bathroom of our house and offered up a heartfelt prayer to God. That was almost 40 years ago. And today my Aunt Marianne still talks about the miracle healing from her cancer. Now, I wish I could tell you that all of my prayers have been answered in just that fashion. But the fact is, there have been many prayers that I've offered up that have gone unanswered. Or many prayers where I'm still waiting for an answer. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we might want them to be answered. When I was in seminary, our homiletics professor contracted cancer. And for a while, everyone in the whole seminary was praying for her. And at one point, the cancer was in remission. And we all rejoiced and gave thanks to God, and she came back to work, and she was changed, a brand new person, appreciative of the lease on life that she had. But in the next few months, the cancer came back with a fury, and within a few short months, she was dead. I remember wondering, why God had let this happen to a faithful servant, someone who was faithful in everything that she did. Why come God did not hear our prayers? We don't know. But God enjoins us to pray, and to pray persistently. I suppose that the early church often prayed for many things. They prayed for protection. They prayed for security. They prayed when they were being persecuted, and God did not always answer their prayers. But they did receive what is most needed, a sense of God's loving presence and attentiveness, and the strength and resilience and the fortitude that they needed to survive. And in all of our prayers, God gives us not so much what we want, but God gives us what we need in order to cultivate a relationship of trust and faith in God. And so in life and in death, we are called to pray to God, to be persistent in our prayers. One of the dangers of reading the Bible is that we often subvert its meaning so that it accords with our own individual desires. We try to make the Bible fit our lives in our agendas instead of fitting our life into the text, instead of making our life fit what the Bible demands of all of us. And so many of us read this parable to mean that if we are just persistent enough, God will give us whatever it is we desire. But our parable this morning is not about any kind of prayer. Our parable this morning is about justice. It is about God's justice. It is about praying that God will make the world right. That's what justice is all about, making things right. It's about praying for the coming of God's kingdom, when things will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Many of the prayers that we offer up to God are individual prayers about what we desire, and there's nothing wrong with that. We are called to pray. But God is not a slot machine that we can manipulate to give us what we want and what we desire. That's our temptation in a consumerist culture, to treat God as a giant Santa Claus. But the Bible reminds us that when we pray, that we are called to pray for the world. We are called to pray for God's justice. We are called to pray for the coming of the kingdom of God. That's what the people of the Bible always prayed about. That's what the people, God's people have always prayed about. They prayed for the coming of the kingdom. Lord, when is your kingdom going to come? When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? When are you going to make things right? When are you going to create that vision that you told us about in Isaiah? When are you going to create the kind of world, to make the kind of world possible where there are no hungry people? When is there going to be that world where there is no more tears, where there are no more sickness, where there are no more marginalized people, no more marginalized or vulnerable people? When are you going to make that world possible? When is your kingdom going to come? How long are we going to have to wait? We've been studying the book of Revelation in Sunday school. It is a fascinating book. But part of the message of the book of Revelation is not to give up. Don't give up. Even in the midst of persecution and oppression, do not give up. Even at the darkest hour, do not give up. Even in the face of injustice, do not give up. There's another reality. A reality that's not readily seen by the people of this world. A reality where God is on the throne. A reality where God has his whole world in his hand. And do not give up. Because one day, God will be all in all. One day, God is going to have God's way with the world. One day, God's justice is going to pervade everything. So do not give up. That's what the people of God always longed for. That's what they waited for. And Jesus says, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Pray for God's kingdom. Wait for God's kingdom. Live for God's kingdom. It's instructive that in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, before the very first thing that he told us to pray for, before we pray for our daily bread, before we pray for forgiveness of our trespasses, the very first thing that he told us to pray for was for the coming of the kingdom. Pray for the coming of the kingdom of God. Pray that things will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is not a selfish enterprise where we're only concerned about ourselves. But we are to pray for the world. We are to pray that the world will come to reflect the glory of God. Pray. Be persistent. Pray for the coming of God's kingdom. Pray for God's justice to fill the whole world. We said last week that whenever we read a parable, we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions. And one of the questions we ask is, where is God? Where is God at in this parable? Certainly, we don't mean to suggest that God is like the judge who has to be begged, badgered, and bothered in order to grant this woman justice. And indeed, it is not. Jesus, in his parable, is arguing from the lesser to the greater. He's saying that if even this unjust judge can grant justice to this woman, how much more will God grant justice to those who put their faith and trust in him? We can count on God. God may not come when we want him to come, but as they used to say back in the little church I grew up in, he's always right on time. God will grant us justice. God will grant the world justice. You can count on that. You can count on God. This world belongs to God. And God wants us to understand that the forces and powers of death will not have the last word. God will have the last word. The forces and powers of injustice will not have the last word. The forces and powers that exclude people and marginalize people will not have the last word. God will have the last word. And God desires that we all have life. That's what God is about. And God says, pray for that. Live for that. Pray. Be persistent about God's justice. We can count on God because this world belongs to God. And God will reclaim this world for God's self. Does it make any difference about how things might look right now? Does it make any difference which armies control the world? Does it make any difference what kind of economic system controls the world? Does it make any difference what powerful corporations run things? Does it make any difference what political parties are in control? The world belongs to God, and God will bring God's justice. God will bring it, whether we want that justice or not. God will bring it. The second question we might ask ourselves is, who are we in this parable? And I suspect that many of us identify with the widow, and that's good. But we need to understand that when we identify with this widow, that we as God's people are called to identify with those who have no voice. We are called to identify with the powerless. We are called to identify with the voiceless. We are called to identify with those who have no standing. We are called to identify with those who have no rights. Not only are we called to identify with those, but we are those people. We are those people because what we are looking for, what we are longing for, is nothing that this world can offer. What we are longing for is what only God can bring. And that is God's justice and God's self-giving love to be pervasive throughout the world. And because we are looking for those things and longing for those things and waiting for those things, we become part of the marginalized. The forces and the powers of this world don't understand us, because they are trying to give us what does not bring life, but often only brings death. But we are looking for another city. We are looking for a city whose maker and author is God. We are looking for a city of justice and love and peace. We are looking for a city where everyone is invited, where all of God's people, whether they're black or whether they're white, whether they're rich or whether they're poor, whether they're foreigners or whether they're immigrants, whoever they may be, we're looking for a city where all of God's people are able to experience what it means to be loved and valued. And that's why in our world, we as God's people are often part of the voiceless and the little ones. We are called to pray persistently for God's justice. And we're not only called to pray for that justice, but we are called to live into it. We don't feel at home in this world anymore, as the little song says, but we are called to work for God's justice. We are called to feed hungry people. We are called to embrace the lonely. We are called to reach out to the vulnerable. We are called to be that community where God's healing spirit is already in the midst of us. We're called to work for God's justice. So the message for us this morning is not to lose heart. The message for us this morning is to pray. But the message for us is also to go out into the world and to make our lives a prayer in what we do. To make our lives a prayer in the way that we persistently seek out God's justice. We're not satisfied with the way things are. We know, like the widow, that the way things are not the way they are supposed to be. They're not the way that God intended for it to be. God did not intend for there to be poverty in God's world. God did not intend for there to be violence in God's world. God did not intend for some people to have a lot and a little and some people to have a few. God did not intend that. God did not intend sickness in God's world. God did not intend any of that. And so God's charge to us is to go out into the world and to live for God's kingdom, to fight for God's kingdom, to pray for God's kingdom, and never, never, never give in. Never lose heart. We read this parable as a testament to what Luke has been telling us all along, that God has a special concern for the poor and the marginalized. In other words, God has a special concern for all of us, for those who are longing and waiting for a more just world. God has a special concern for us, and God wants us to know that we can count on God, because one day this world will indeed be reconciled to God's self, and we will rejoice on God's holy mountain, experiencing God's justice and God's love for ourselves and for all people. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we live in the midst of a world where we are often deluded into believing that the way things are the way that they will be forever. Even as your people, we are deluded into believing that we cannot change things, and we succumb to the temptation simply to give in, to buy into the categories and definitions of this world. But you have reminded us that in the midst of a world of cruelty and injustice and indifference, that you have called us not to lose heart, that you have called us to be persistent in our prayers and persistent in our desire for the coming of your kingdom. We ask, Lord, that you help us to continue to pray that things will indeed be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us not only to pray, but help us to make our lives a prayer of your peace, a prayer of your justice, a prayer of your love for all people. We ask, Lord, that as we continue to reflect on who you have called us to be in Luke's gospel, that you help us to find the same passion that Luke has, the same passion that Luke told us that you have, the passion for those who are not at home in this world because they are seeking that next world, that new world, that world where you are all in all, that world where your love and grace fills and pervades the whole world. That's the world that we wait on, the world that we pray for. And we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.